Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, the founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show on how to win at relationships. I'm Charissa Sebastian, a nationally recognized coach, speaker, and writer recently featured on ABC, NBC, Fox, and CBS. I'm a certified life and leadership coach for women, and I hold my certification through the International Coaching Federation. My passion is helping women break free from being stuck, overwhelmed, and stressed, mainly in their professional lives and in the area of work-life balance, to live a life of passion, purpose, joy, and fulfillment. You can find more information on me and what I do on my website at www.charissasebastian.com. That's spelled SHARISSASEBASTIAN. I'd like to take a moment to highlight a fabulous women's one-day retreat, spa retreat, coming up at the end of January in the DFW area with a group of amazing coaches. You can find out more about this event on my website. So let's get into today's show, sponsored by Audible.com. We'll be talking about relationships, the common challenges, and how to overcome them, both in your personal and professional lives. I am joined by Brent Brown, who I've known for many years and who happens to be a very gifted coach specializing in the relationship area. Brent, welcome. Would you like to take a few minutes to introduce yourself?
Hello, Charissa. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate that. Everyone, I'm a coaching professional with a passion for helping couples, individuals, teams, and leaders develop their skills necessary to improve their critical relationships on all levels. I'm dedicated to helping others better serve themselves by developing strategies that aid them in becoming better partners, professionals, and people. I'm a U.S. Air Force veteran who served around the world and have witnessed many and experienced many relationships and dynamics in action. I hold a degree in business management, and I have credentials in project management, ELI, master practitioner, as well as a certified professional coach. I've also served as a city councilman in a large North Texas city some years ago. In addition to being a professional life coach, I've also served as a consulting principal and project manager in the telecommunications industry and IT industry for over 38 years. It's a pleasure to be on the show with you tonight, Charissa.
Brent, are you still there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, you broke up a little bit. I think you may need to go back to the last few sentences that you said, please, because you broke up and I couldn't hear anything. And I'm not sure if the listeners heard the same thing.
I'm not sure. Let me try that again. And I'll start it up where I'm. Can you hear me now?
Yes, this is much better. Thank you.
Excellent. Not sure what's going on with the phone lines. I apologize for that. As I stated, I'm a U.S. Air Force veteran. I served around the world, and I've witnessed and experienced many different relationship dynamics in all types of situations. I hold a degree in business management, as well as credentials as a project management professional, an ELI master practitioner, and a certified professional coach. I served as city councilman in a large North Texas city some years ago. In addition to being a professional life coach, I also serve in a consulting principal as a project manager in the telecommunications and IT industry for over 38 years.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that introduction. So before we jump into this topic, I'd like to let our listeners know that you have a very special offer for them at the end of the show, and they will not want to miss that. Also, for anyone listening in, feel free to give us a call at 646-716-9397. We'd love for you to join in on that discussion. Again, that number is 646-716-9397. So let us jump right in and start off by diving into this topic on relationships. So as we all know, relationships are one of those wonderful gifts that we're given, yet they can be challenging to navigate, especially with those closest to us and the people that we spend the most amount of time with. So let's start off by talking about marriage or romantic relationships in general. Brent, what are some of the top issues that you found in these areas?
Well, some of the top issues, and that's a common type question. We run across these all the time. A lot of it is all about communications or the different types of communications that that people experience. Everyone needs to remember and have a foundational understanding of they communicate from their particular point of reference. They rarely step outside of that, and that's the beginning of many different types of problems. As an example, financial stress, stress with the in-laws, the differences of opinion on about whether to have kids, how many kids, boredom in the relationship, things like that. All of those things culminate in or have a basis of communications at the root cause.
Right, absolutely. And I love what you said about from their point of reference, because I think that's a really, really key point to kind of focus on for a moment. And that is trying to look at things from a different angle. You know, like a lot of times when we're in a relationship, it's easy for us to look at things from a very narrow lens and kind of look at things from our point of view. But the key, I think one of the keys, and you can let me know if this is, you know, what you found in your experience, is really trying to change that perspective and look at things from the other person's point of view to maybe, you know, reduce the, or maybe not even reduce, but really help that relationship develop and get stronger and minimize conflict as well.
No, you're absolutely right. One of the foundational principles of coaching is actually about communications. It's all about communications, first with yourself and understanding where you're coming from, where your background is, what it is that your reference points are that cause you to communicate and act the way you do. And communication is not only verbal, but it's also physical. It's sometimes mental, but there's all sorts of levels of communications, and all of this is picked up by everyone around us, not only in the personal life, but also in the professional life, and we can get on hit on that topic a little bit later. But people who are communicate from their point of reference based on what they've learned, and it's not only what they learned today or in school or educationally, it's also what they picked up as growing up as a child. I'm not trying to hit the psychological aspects of it, but just to kind of lay the foundation of the communication goes that far back. You know what you know, and you've learned what you've learned, and it's all how you received that particular perspective and understood it and accepted that information into your brain. So for you, that is the truth. And for
right.
someone to
absolutely.
Challenge
and I think
that
a lot,
truth
another...
on...
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Shiraz.
Oh, sorry, I was just going to kind of piggyback on what you just said, the fact that a lot of it is also subconscious. So not only is it because of our assumptions or beliefs and the way we've grown up with, but a lot of people are not even conscious that that's the way they react based on these things that are subconscious to us and are not always apparent.
Well, that's exactly the point I was about to make, is it becomes subconscious. You have absolutely no idea over time that you're doing this. One of the great benefits of coaching is for having a third party present to sit with you, understand you, help you bring those pieces and parts out about why you communicate, what you communicate, and who you communicate to over the course of time. But the great part about coaching is that once a person becomes aware that that's even happening with them in their life, in their professional life, in their personal life, in all of their facets of their life, then they have an opportunity to make a change, have a choice to decide which
right.
way do I need to go from here.
Right, absolutely. And like you said, the awareness is a big, big part of that. You know, you've got to start with having your eyes open and being aware of what's going on with you, you know, internally, and what are some of those thoughts that you're having, so that you can get to the root of the problem. Because it's not, you know, I know it's sometimes easy for us, and I know I've been guilty of this, where, you know, it's easy for us to get into a situation where we find ourselves pointing the finger and saying, oh, that's wrong, that's, you know, something that's wrong in that person or that person. But a lot of times, even that perspective comes from what's going on in our minds and a lot of that subconscious thinking. So the question I have for you around that, Brent, is how do you help your clients, like with that specific issue, with just uncovering what it is that's going on with them subconsciously or why they just feel like they're stuck in these relationships and they're not able to move forward? And I know you mentioned there could be a number of different reasons, but if you could just share some quick tips or, you know, anything that you use in your coaching that might help our listeners to kind of take a step back and be aware of what's going on.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, the person has to realize that, number one, you are unique in and of yourself. There are no other people on the face of the earth who are like you. From your perspective, from your background, from your upbringing, from your education, to your day-to-day activities, from your quirks, from your other habits, things like that, you are you. And if you think about it from that perspective, the way you communicate is all from your perspective. It's exactly how you feel at any given moment as to how you're going to project yourself into the world, whether that be your spouse, your children, your family, your friends, your co-workers, it doesn't matter. It's all based on that perspective. If you think about that at any given moment of the day, how did you communicate yourself? How did you put yourself out there in a given situation? Yes, people are that's able to control how they present themselves a little bit, but by and large, the underlying dependencies of what you've learned throughout your life will continue to present themselves to other people. And what I mean by that is, say, for example, I'm in a home situation, and I had a relationship with my parents way back when, and they did not allow me to, say, watch TV during the hours of X and X. Well, let's say that your spouse did, his parents did allow him to watch TV from those hours. Well, you have a deep-seated cause there to say, no, we are not going to watch TV during these times. And the other husband the other spouse is looking at it and saying, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with that. So you have conflict based on a deep-seated childhood trait that you picked up that you are not consciously controlling. It's just there, and that's just the way you believe it. So that's how a lot of communications problems start. You can probably easily pick up on the fact that that may cause an argument in most families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's definitely, I think that's a good example to use, because I think that is a common situation in a lot of families. And so my question then is, and I know you've had experience coaching, couples and who have similar day-to-day struggles and conflicts and things like that. So as it relates to conflict, and specifically on that example that you just gave, what are some of the ways that you help your clients work through some of those issues, or specifically the example that you gave?
Well, sir, the first thing is for them to acknowledge that their perspective isn't the only perspective, that there are other ways to look at it. So once they're conscious of it, then they can make a choice as to how they want to approach it going forward. So the little trick or tip that I would offer is, ask yourself, does it make a difference? Is this worth an argument? Does it make sense to even be arguing about? Is it really that important? And if it is, you can certainly take that track and follow that up with some healthy discussion with your spouse. There's absolutely no problems there. But in most cases, and I would say a good 95%+ of situations that arise really aren't that important.
Mm-hmm.
You may feel that they're important, but it is usually just a launch board, if you will, for another argument. So if you're having a lot of distress in your family, you're having a lot of things, a lot of discussions going down the wrong path, first consider how it is that you're approaching those discussions. Understanding how you go into those discussions will help you determine why you got there to begin with and how you could avoid those in the future.
Absolutely. And just another point to add, or another question that we can ask ourselves in those situations is, what is it about this that's bothering me? Why is this bothering me? Because I know for me, working through some of those things that have come up for me, that was a key question for me. When I stopped and reflected and asked myself, why is it that this is bothering me, it puts me more into that almost an analytical mode rather than focusing on the other person in the conflict. It makes me be more introspective, and it really helps me get a good understanding. And then, like you were saying earlier, a lot of these things come from the way we were brought up, or you know, things that we saw, or just daily habits, or whatever the case may be. And so when we stop and ask ourselves a question, sometimes it will go directly back to one of those situations, and it really helps us to reframe and kind of defuse in that situation. I know that's been, on a personal level, that's helped me a lot, because the minute I'm aware of it and I make the conscious decision to ask that question and I realize, oh my goodness, this is something that maybe I had experienced in a previous relationship or from childhood or in another situation, I'm able to realize why this is triggering me, you know, why I even have that button in the first place. And I love that saying that, you know, when you – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just about to say that's an excellent point, and that's where a coach comes in. Because a lot of people don't have the ability or the knowledge, or the, I guess the correct phrase would be the awareness, to be able to sit back and ask them themselves those questions. So sitting down with a coach and helping them guide you through asking those questions and getting to that foundation, not only finding out that I am having a problem with a particular situation or multiple situations, but not only that, but establishing generally where that came from. Where is that root cause? What is it that's triggering that? Again, I go back to the term awareness. So once a person is aware of it, they can't ignore it any longer. They have to, at that point, make a conscious decision to decide what to do about it. They can continue down the same path, or they can make a choice to make a change. And that's what great coaching is all about, and that's helping guide the person and establish, as you described earlier, tips in order to establish a new path from having to step down that old one. The old one clearly doesn't work. Excuse me. There's a lot of conflict that are created for no reason other than the fact of that's my perspective and I'm going to stick to it because that's what I've known and that's what I've always known. I've done it that way. I've always done it that way.
Right. And that's another actually really excellent point. I'm glad you just said that because that was my next thought that I was going to mention is that in order to go through this process, not only do you have to be aware of it, but you have to be willing to be introspective and to ask yourself the questions and to even acknowledge that, you know, there might be things that's going on inside your head and some of these things that you've been carrying along that may be, you know, impacting the situation. So it's not necessarily just about pointing the blame and saying this is what you need to do to change to get better, but really being in that space where you're open to looking at yourself as well and not just saying, okay, that person needs to be fixed. There's really nothing, you know, nothing wrong with me. And I think that's so powerful. When we do open ourselves up to do that, and then on top of that being aware, it changes everything. It really does. And I think, I know, you know this from a coaching perspective, and so do I. And like you said, coaching through this is so, so powerful because you're right. I mean, we can uncover all of these things by, you know, the types of questions that we ask and just the way we can go about getting really deep down where people may not even realize what's been going on or some of the, you know, the outcomes, I guess, of some of the actions or the decisions. They may be going through this for many, many years, not realizing what the underlying cause is. And through the whole process of coaching and asking those key questions, they're able to uncover this and really change the trajectory of their lives. Because, I mean, we're talking about a topic like relationships, which impacts every facet of your life. You know, if you want to be if you want to be successful professionally or personally, your relationships are so key, like we mentioned earlier. So I think that's
well,
that's
you have
really
relationships, and you have relationships in every facet of life, and the point you make is absolutely correct. There's no place on earth that you can go and not have a relationship. If you're interacting with someone else, you're having a relationship. Now, some of those relationships mean a lot more to you than others, for sure. You're willing to put a lot more on the line for that relationship than you are for casual relationships, but they're all relationships.
Right. Exactly. So before we go on, I just want to remind our listeners of the call-in number. We'd love for you guys to dial in and with your thoughts or questions or comments. The number again is 646-716-9397, 646-716-9397. So Brent, just again to go back to that, to the point about tips or tools, I know you've given us some really great nuggets around that. Is there anything else that you'd like to add as far as advice, especially in the area of conflict?
Sure, absolutely. There's some great great tricks. We can call them tricks, but there's really nothing that is trickery about it. It's simple tools that you can use to adjust yourself, adjust your mindset, really, is what it's all about. And I think one of the best tools to start out with as a person who's just discovering that they have different things and different ways of communicating and they have conflict in their life and they want to fix that is first and foremost by journaling, by taking those thoughts and writing them down. And for simple enough, I have some exercises that I've used with many of my clients where they see nothing but negative in the beginning. So what I've challenged them to do is for a week to 2 weeks in a row, every day, whatever the thought creates, but at least for 15 minutes a day, to pull out a journal and write down all the positive things that have occurred, making sure that they really think hard, because there's so many positive things that happen to people every day, not only to ourselves, but to others in our interactions with everyone. As an example, you get stuck in traffic. That can be a very stressful moment, especially if you've got kids in the background, you're having a relationship with your children, you've got your husband or your spouse sitting there, you do this, do that, turn left, turn right, stop, go. By simply recognizing that someone up ahead who saw you trying to get into the traffic and allowing you to move in, where other people were blocking you off and not letting you in, that causes a high amount of stress. But that was something good that happened to you that day. That was something good that happened that morning for you. It's little simple acts of kindness, little random acts of kindness, if you will, that are happening around you every day. It's whether or not that you're acknowledging them. Now, the purpose of the journaling is for you to document what is going on, what is positive in your life. So after a period of days or a couple of weeks, you can go back and review that journal and see that, wow, there are more things happening to you. It's changing your focal point from negative things or things that you thought were normal in the past to actually looking and consciously reaching out to see the good that is happening around you and with your family mm-hmm. and with your spouse and with your coworkers. Those things happen every day. It's just that we've had blinders on as individuals, and because of our upbringing, because of our current mindset, we just haven't been able to recognize or acknowledge them. So by going back and looking at the journal of the positive things that have been occurred, number one, you've gotten into a habit of looking for them, and number two, you're now discovering them, and number three, you're now able to go back and review those and see how many good things, in fact, did happen to you, as well as to others. A good thing in life doesn't necessarily have to happen to you. You may see an act of kindness or something good happening to someone else. Guess what? That's mm-hmm. something that good that happened that day. So it's laying the foundation for a change of your mindset in order for you to openly acknowledge and observe things that are going on around you outside of focusing on the negative. You've heard the old saying that magnets attract one another, the North Pole, South Pole, they'll attract on the magnet side. So what's going to happen here is as you focus on more positive things, guess what? More positive things you will see. If you focus on the negative, there's more negative things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You will see and you will acknowledge those. Have you ever seen workplace dynamics as an example? Where people who are bickering tend to hang out with one another. But people who are having a good time or laughing or telling jokes or just consciously enjoying their day, they tend to hang out with one another. Which side of that fence would you rather be on? The side that's all negative, always have something to complain about, or maybe you're actually throwing in with that crowd yourself and adding to that discussion. That's not necessarily a good thing. If you want to make a positive change in your life, you have to think positively.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I love that. There's so many good points that you shared on that I'd love to just expand on a little bit if I could. I know you started off by talking about journaling and how powerful that is, and I know I've used that in my coaching as well, and it truly is. Just, you know, just getting your thoughts and feelings on a piece of paper, really kind of, it's almost like a release that happens when you're able to do that, and you don't feel so overwhelmed and stressed just in that act alone. And then to take that even further, like you had mentioned, you know, to really look at that and see, you know, which of those, what is it that's really true, or how can I look at those things? And really, you know, and I think it's very timely also as we're heading into Thanksgiving this week, how can I really be grateful in those situations? How do I see the positive and acknowledge that? And one of the things I also wanted to just add to that is you had mentioned or you touched on workplace dynamics. And I know we're going to go into that in a little more detail in a few minutes, but the point that I wanted to make here is a lot of times, and I know this has happened in my experience, especially in the workplace because it's such a high-stress environment most times, is that, you know, we tend to, there's some people that just, you know, we just don't, or we clash with, or we just don't get along with the way we would like to. But I think it's so important to have, as difficult as it sometimes is, to take a moment and to say, what is it about that person that we admire, you know, even though sometimes we don't want to admit it, but what is it about that person that, you know, really, really helps, or that I can learn from, or just something positive about that person. It could even be in a personal relationship. But just that reframing is also really, really powerful to help us switch, you know, switch gears in our minds and look at things through a positive lens. Because like you said, Brent, positive attracts positive. You know, whatever you put out there is what's going to come back to you. And I think that's, I love that. That's one of my favorite sayings or quotes and things that I, you know, that's what I like to remember. And not only that, it actually has a physiological impact as well, and I think you mentioned this as well, as far as it really does reduce your stress and anxiety and overwhelm. And I love the fact that as you go through that process, if you know, like you said with your clients, you got them to journal you know, on a weekly basis. And as you go through that process and you try, you know, you reframe those situations, you're really going to notice a change in your stress level. You really will. And I've seen this time and time again. I know, Brent, you've seen this in your experience with coaching as well.
I absolutely have, and that's a great point. And the other thing you're talking about, reframing, another tip that I use with my clients is to really sit back and think about, have a routine. And a routine doesn't mean just pick up and do this and do that and do the other, follow a set of instructions. No, it's really establish a new framework of your mind on how you're going to approach today. And the way you approach today is, I myself, I actually get up in the morning at a specific time, regardless of whether it's weekend or not. Of course, I have to adjust it on occasions for getting to work early, for having a particular appointment. I've got to knock out, but typically I start the day pretty early. And what I'll do is I'll have a set of affirmations I'll run through. Part of those affirmations in the morning is I will see others as I would like myself to be seen. And in that way, it lays the foundation for me to be looking for the good that is going on in the world and all that is occurring around me. I may not be able to change the world, so to the world, I may be just one person, but to one person, I may be the world. So I want to put myself in a positive mindset as soon as I get up in the morning. So I'm thinking about things. I'm thinking about what I can do to make a positive impact on someone's life, because I have no idea who I'm going to run into that day. I know my general, the people I work with, the people that are my family, the people that are elsewhere that I may just casually run into, but I never know when an opportunity is going to present itself for me to have a positive influence on that person's life by something I said, by something I do, by, as I mentioned before, a random act of kindness. And it's the best part of it is I expect nothing in return. Because it's just an act of kindness. It's better. You've heard the phrase in the past. It's better to give than receive. In kindness, that's absolutely true. and it absolutely sets your day going forward in a positive direction. And if you're used to getting up in the morning, slapping the clock around after it goes off three or four times, finally dragging yourself out of bed, you already know that you're in a bad mood. You're not moving very well. You don't have the energy level that you should normally have, that you would like to have when you get up. And you sort of set that negative tone from that moment forward for the rest of the day. That doesn't mean it lasts all day long, but it does mean you're stepping off on the wrong foot. You could step out by energetically waking up, greeting the day, accepting what's going to come, and then putting yourself forward and saying, I'm going to do what I can to do the best that I can and for everyone that I can.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's really important. And funny you should say that, because I was just listening to a little clip by Oprah this morning where she was talking about starting off her day and what she does to, like you said, put herself in the right frame of mind. And one of the things she mentioned is a spiritual reading. So she mentioned that when she wakes up in the morning, she immediately goes to some kind of, you know, uplifting spiritual material or reading that she starts her day with, so that her mind is already in the right, you know, she's in the right frame of mind, basically. And I love the affirmations. And I do want to expand on that, because I want to make sure that our listeners understand what that is, what the affirmations are, and then also give them some tips on how they can implement that. So one of the other things I want to mention about these affirmations, and basically those are just, most times they're I am statements. So you can go through, you know, I have, like, for example, I'll give you a tip that I implement every day. And what I did is I take a bunch of sticky notes, and I write those I am, or those truth statements, on those sticky notes, and I put them on my bathroom mirror so that when I'm brushing my teeth and getting ready in the morning, I'm in front of the mirror anyway, and so I look up and I say those affirmations. But the key to that, and it's not just about saying them just as a, you know, as part of your routine, but the real key to changing your mindset is what is now being dubbed affirmations, which means that you not only say those words, but you include an emotion and the feeling behind it and the belief that that is true for you. Because it's only that when you have those three pieces, the actual word, and you repeat that, the emotion and the belief behind it, that it's truly, truly powerful. And if you do this on a daily basis, and if that becomes your routine, you will notice a dramatic difference in how you live out your day. I can promise you that. You don't, even if you just take that step alone, and, you know, just be conscious as you go through your day, you will start to notice a difference. You will start to notice that you feel better going through your day. You'll start to attract more positivity into.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So
I know that a lot of people are probably listening to this and thinking, "Oh, goodness gracious, we're getting into philosophical types of things." But I guarantee you, as you what you're doing here, the basis of what Charissa is talking about is you are retraining your brain. You are taking the negative thoughts away and you're replacing them with the thoughts that you want to become real for you, whatever they may be. If you talk negative to yourself, well, negative is what you're going to get. You attract what you project. So if you project that you are successful, that you are kind, that you are a communicator, that you are doing everything right for your children, you are making good decisions at work, you are happy with your work. If you're doing those things and telling yourself that, well, guess what? Over a period of time, your brain is replacing those negative thoughts with all of these positive thoughts. And it can't help but start attracting more of the positive things that are going on around you.
Right. And I'm so glad you said what you said a few minutes ago, Brent, about the fact that it sounds like it's out there. And thank you for reminding me, because one of the things I wanted to tie that back to is the, you know, the common issues that our society today faces, not just in the area of relationships, but just, you know, just in everyday life, is the high stress that we're all under, the anxiety, the overwhelm, all of those feelings that directly tie back to what we're talking about today, to all of these things. And the only way to really combat that and to change that is to change the, you know, what's going on in our mind. And I know, you know, our listeners are probably aware of this because there's a lot in the media around this, but there've been many, many scientific studies in the areas of psychology, psychotherapy, and neuropsychology and all of that to back up what we're saying based on the fact that these are really, really big issues that our society is facing today. So I'm glad you said that, because I did want to make sure that we tie that back, because that's a really important point to note, that it's just not these random exercises that we're doing in the hopes that, you know, our lives are going to completely change, but it really is backed by science and by evidence that it does work. And so I think that's,
well,
you know,
I would like
really
to
important.
I would like to throw in a little bit more science of my own, in that I'm here to attest that they work. I've used these on myself. I'm not unlike any other person that's ever walked the face of the earth. We all have problems. We all have problems with the in-laws, stresses at home, financial boredom, unwillingness to do different things. But you've also noticed that just as many people are happy. They may not seem to even have near as much as you, but they are happy. How is that possible? Well, the idea is that they have developed a mindset of that they are successful, that they are happy, that they have taken that fear and found a way for them to overcome it, or to at least put it aside long enough for them to experience life.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, and there's a lot, and like you said, I'm glad that you brought that back to your own personal experience as well, because that's been my experience, not just me personally, but the people that I've coached as well, and there's plenty of evidence to support that. So I just want to maybe get us a little bit off the topic of relationships just for a second, and I'd like to take this opportunity to let our listeners know that the show on How to Win at Relationships is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com. Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen on any device. If you sign up at our URL, audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio, you get one free audiobook and 1 month free trial of the service. There's a title that I saw recently that relates to this topic of relationships that I highly recommend, and that is The 5 Love Languages by Gary Chapman. And there's a whole series of these books. I've read a few of these, including one that applies to children, and they're absolutely wonderful. I've used a lot of the tips from that book, and it's really a fantastic book. And you can actually get the book for free if you go to audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio, and we really do appreciate your support there. So, Brent, any other thoughts on on that topic and what we're talking about as far as the any other tips or thoughts around that?
Sure, absolutely. So, given that the holidays are just a couple of days away, Thanksgiving, that means families are getting together, and there's going to be a lot of outside stressors that you don't normally have to deal with, or at least they're stressors in your mind. Everybody comes in with a different set of expectations for the holidays. To be honest with you, quite many people expect it to be just as it was when they were a child. That big family dinner, all of the aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas sitting around the table having that huge bounty of food that has been placed before them. And that in and of itself is a blessing, to be able to sit down with your family, because not all of us have that opportunity every day. So there are some stressors and some ways to handle the stress, the additional stresses of the holiday season. I'd like to share those with, if you would let me.
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
So some of the things is, you first need to have realistic expectations of yourself and of others. Everybody's coming in, they're traveling. Let's say that everyone is, for this example, everyone is traveling to your house. You're going to be busy doing this, that, and the other, getting the food ready, making sure that grandma and grandpa are taken care of whenever they get there, other family members with special needs. They don't like mashed potatoes. The other one likes sweet potatoes. There's any number of things. You've got to make 5 or 6 different types of desserts. You're really stressed. Now, think about it from the other's perspective, and this is a bit what Charissa and I were speaking of earlier when we were talking about reframing. What are the other people having to do? Well, they're flying in, they're driving in, they've spent a lot of time in the airport. If you've spent any time in an airport on a holiday or in a large city on a highway, you know that there's many, many, many other people out there than are usual. So the stressors of those folks just traveling and getting themselves together to come to your place, so they have a lot of weight on their shoulders. So be mindful and aware that everyone has a set of stressors. It's how they have to deal with it. So please use and set realistic expectation for yourself and others. Try to accept family members and their friends just as they are, because they are who they are. They can't change. They're not going to change just for the meeting for the day. So even if they don't live up to your own expectations of what they were, don't worry about it. It's a good idea that they actually came to visit with you, and it's just be happy that they're there with you. Identify ahead of time some of the hot topics. Every family, every member of every family always has hot topics that have been brewing within families for years and years and years. Some of those topics would be great to avoid. Don't bring it up. Step around it. And as some people have said in many, many times, is just because you get invited to a fight doesn't mean you have to show up. Establish healthy boundaries for yourself and others. If you see things going on around you, make sure that you understand that it's okay to say no. If you've got 15 things that you're trying to get done at once in order to make the meal, get it prepped, or get the structure of the Thanksgiving event going on, whether that be ready for the ball game, whether ready for dessert, or where everybody's going to sleep, where everybody's going to go, all of those things, it doesn't matter. Just, it's okay to say no. The world will not stop, I can guarantee you, just because you said no. Another great stress point is staying away from some of the topics that are toxic to the family relationships. Talking about any number of things, you know, little Johnny isn't doing so well in school, and I'm saying little Johnny isn't your little Johnny, it's somebody else's little Johnny. Somebody else has got maybe a deep-seated issue going on with a dependency of some sort, say with alcohol or drugs. Those aren't necessarily things that you need to talk about unless you're doing some sort of an intervention, and even then I would recommend professional assistance there. But remember what the spirit of the holiday is about, and that's Thanksgiving. Thank goodness that person and those people are there, or they're around you to support you, and they're all wanting to have a good time. Also, become aware of how unhappy or traumatic memories can have on people. People who were there when you were childhood, some of those older members of that family may not be with you anymore. They may have passed along, or they may have moved away, or any number of situations that caused them not to be able to. That causes a lot of deep-seated feelings in people. So it's a very important thing to understand where those little hot buttons would be, and to avoid that if that's what it means. To keep the peace at the house, to really enjoy the holiday. And yesterday is yesterday. There's nothing that can be done about it. It's past. It's great to look back on it. It's great to love it. It's great to have enjoyed it. And that's a lot of what people don't get to nowadays, is they spend so much time living in the past that they forget about living today. So take the moment with your family. Take the moment with your friends. Take the moment with whoever you choose to be with, and be in that moment.
Oh, I love that. Those are some absolutely amazing, amazing, amazing tips. There's a couple of things that I just wanted to add on to what you just said, because I think those are just absolutely invaluable as we go into the holidays. And, you know, obviously the general theme around Thanksgiving is to be thankful and grateful. And you've mentioned this before, is be grateful that those people are even at that table with you. But the other thing I wanted to also mention is when you get into those heated conversations or somebody says something that just rubs you the wrong way, a lot of times we don't stop to question, you know, the intention behind it. People may have completely innocent intentions behind saying what they say, you know, or they may have good intentions when they say certain things that may rub us the wrong way. And so I think we also have to be mindful of that as well. And that'll help, you know, ease some of our stress as well, because, you know, we don't want people sitting on the table in their green bean casserole and being all grumpy and, you know, ready to explode at any moment.
Yeah, so, I don't want the relationship at the table messing with my green bean sad casserole, that's for sure.
And it's funny, yeah, it's funny you kind of echoed what I just said, because green bean casserole, I don't know why that popped into my head, but that's my least favorite Thanksgiving dish. But anyway, so yeah, I mean, I think it's just important to reflect and say, you know what, they may have good intentions. Maybe it doesn't come out in the best way, but, you know, it does. And also, what you said before on setting boundaries, I think is really important. I know a lot of us struggle with this, and I struggled with this, you know, so I'm definitely including myself here. When it comes to setting those boundaries, because a lot of times when we are around family, like you mentioned, it kind of feels like you're back, you know, when you were much younger.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it is difficult. Yeah, you get into that mode of, you know, you want to make sure that you're pleasing everyone, and you want to make sure that you try to keep the peace as much as possible. But really, you lose yourself in that process, and it becomes stressful for you when you try to do that and push yourself, and then you don't enjoy the experience. And then, like we were saying earlier, people feed off that, and at the end of the day, it becomes uncomfortable and stressful for you and even the people around you who may, you know, feel that from you. So, yeah, I love that.
Well, I'm going to take this right back where we began when we were talking about communications, and I'm going to use the green bean casserole as the example of communications.
Okay.
When you said green
really
bean casserole...
Can we change it maybe to potatoes? Because I don't want the green bean casserole visual to thing.
But it's a perfect example. I love green bean casserole. It's fantastic. But what it conjures up in your mind, the same set of words, green bean casserole, brings up all sorts of negative things. You don't like it. You don't want it. You don't want to see it. You don't want to be around it. Me, I want to see it. I want to touch it. I want to eat it. I want to be around it come Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
It's all about communications, and using the phrase green bean casserole, as simple as it is, we both have two different definitions of what that is.
Right.
That is for every word in the English language. Each person has their own definition, and it's because of the lack of communications or the lack of clarity around communications that people don't understand one another. How could that person not like green bean casserole? It's the craziest thing. It's an amazing meal. Why couldn't they do that? And you're on the other hand thinking, how in the world could someone like that? It's just the nastiest thing I've ever had in my life. I couldn't spend a moment with that stuff. So it's about definition and understanding. So a great thing to have as a coach when you get into a session with a client wouldn't be, I like green bean casserole or I hate green bean casserole. Well, tell me more about green bean casserole. And you would start digging a little bit deeper into why that person has a positive or negative experience with green bean casserole. It's defining the terms of which your communications will be based. Once you have an understanding and know from where that person's coming from, there can be no miscommunications. And that's key to relationships, whether that be in the professional workplace and especially at home. We do need to communicate more, and if you don't understand, it's okay to say, stop, hold it a second. Tell me what you mean by that. That's
right,
exactly how you establish that.
Yes, fantastic point, and I'm glad you kind of honed in on a little bit of dislike of green bean casserole. I'm glad you were able to use that example, because that is such a good point to make. And wow, I'm just looking at the time here, and we are almost ready to wrap up. The time just flew, and I feel like we've just scratched the surface. There's just so much more that can be discussed around this. But I hope that our listeners got a ton of good information, and not just information, but really practical tips and tools that you can use. And Jason, I would love to hear from you for sure, and see if you're planning on implementing any of these, and see how you're getting along with that. So Brent, I'm going to ask you for any final thoughts, and also that I'm going to remind you of that special offer that you have for everyone, and also let people know how they can get in touch with you.
Oh, absolutely. One thing I would like to kind of reiterate here is the general seven rules of life. And these aren't hard and fast rules, but these are just general rules that everyone can probably live by. And you can probably take one or two, and if you can run with that and live with that, then that would be fantastic. I'd love to hear from you and your experience with that. Rule number one is make peace with your past so it won't mess up your present. Rule number two, what others think of you is none of your business. That one gets a little deep. Number three, time heals almost everything, so give it time. Number four, don't compare your life with others, and don't judge them. You have no idea what their journey is all about. Number five, stop thinking too much. It's all right not to know the answers. They'll come to you when you least expect it. Number six, no one is in charge of your happiness except you. And number seven, I like this one a lot, is smile. You don't own all the problems of the world. And with that, there's seven general rules of life. But I do want to get back to what Sharissa had pointed out, is I do have a special for the listeners. For the first 10 listeners that reach out to my website at www.oasislifesolutions.com, I'm going to give away to the first 10 people who contact me an ELI debrief, an Energy Leadership Index. It's a $500 value, and I'm giving that away for free, and that includes you taking the assessment and the analysis of the assessment, as well as an hour to an hour and a half debrief with me on that subject. And the awesome thing about the ELI, it tells you where you are, how you generally approach things normally, what energy level do you actually show up at, whether it's a negative or a positive or a combination of all. But it also shows, and this is the best part of it, it shows how you show up under stress. So there is the 10 free ELI debriefs that I will give out to the first 10 people who contact my site. If you go to www.oasislifesolutions.com, and there will be an email place right there, just send me your email address. Fill out that little form that's in the center of the page, and I'll get a notification, and I'll reach out to you if you're one of the lucky winners.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you so much. And then what I wanted to let listeners know as well is that I've taken the ELI assessment myself, and that's something that that I've done with several people as well, and it is mind-blowing, the kind of clarity that you get and awareness that you get from that assessment alone. In fact, I've had people tell me that they can't understand how from, taking this assessment for 20 minutes that we're able to then do the debrief and really get into their minds. It really is that powerful, and it's a fantastic springboard into really making those changes in your life to the point where, you're going to be able to see significant difference, a huge difference in the way you make decisions and just on your outlook in life. So, I would highly recommend that you take Brent up on that offer, because that is, I have never heard of a coach offering a free ELI. I've heard of many, I know many of us discount our ELIs, but to offer it free is really, it's really a fantastic offer. So I would highly recommend our listeners do that. And I think it's just going to be a wonderful experience. And like Brent said, it takes only about 20 minutes to do the assessment, and then another probably hour and a half to do the debrief. So it doesn't take too much of your time, but the information that you can get and the tips that you can get from there are really invaluable and can change things quite dramatically for you. So
right.
thank you so much, Ben. That's a very, very generous offer. So thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. One last time, that's www.oasislifesolutions.com. And thank you, Sharissa.
Oh, not a problem. Okay, so just some final comments from me. Just a couple of key points that I'd like our listeners to take away with them as they head into the holidays is to be authentic in your relationships. I know we touched on this briefly, but really be true to who you are. Like Brent was saying earlier, set those boundaries if you need to, and really just be yourself and let go and just have a good time and have fun and enjoy it because it does only come around once a year. And also in being authentic and being true to who you are, and just outside of the holidays, but in general, the right people are going to get attracted to you. So whether that's in the workplace or in any kind of relationship, you'll see that when you're truly yourself and when you value yourself and realize just how much you have to offer without even trying, those key people, those right people, those friendships are going to form and all of those kind of things. And you will notice a change when you make that shift to really embrace who you are. The other thing I wanted to mention is be open to forgive and see the opportunity and positive aspects of every single relationship. I know there's some relationships where we may not like for most times, but just try to see the opportunity and the positive aspect, because I really believe that, and I know Brent has, you know, the same train of thought, that everything really happens for a reason. People come into our lives for different seasons, and there is really so much that we can learn. And a lot of times the learning doesn't, or the awareness doesn't happen until those relationships end. But I really believe everything does happen. Every encounter, every relationship happens for a reason. And so we have the choice to either look at it through a positive lens or through a negative lens. And then just the last point is, don't be afraid to love and to be vulnerable, because again, in being vulnerable is when you truly attract those the right people into your life. And just enjoy the holiday season and enjoy your green bean casserole or whatever your dish of choice may be, and have fun with it. And then if anyone would like to reach me, you can contact me at info@charissasebastian.com. That's my email address, and my website is www.charissasebastian.com. That's spelled SharissaSebastian. And all my social media links can be found on that website. So I've got Twitter and Google Plus and LinkedIn and all of that on my Contact Me page on my website. And again, look for more information on that women's one-day spa retreat in January on my website as well. Again, just to reiterate what I said at the beginning, there's a group of absolutely fabulous coaches that have come together to offer this incredible one-day spa retreat that is going to really rejuvenate and relax and inspire you to go forward and live the life that you've always wanted to live. And then also to find out more about the Life Coach Radio Network, you can go to www.lifecoachradionetwork.com, and you can find information on all of our coaches and on the upcoming shows. And I'd also like to take this opportunity to let you know about some of our upcoming shows. So on November 25th, there's a show entitled Fun to Fortune, Entrepreneur Startup Success with Coach Jeff at 11 a.m. Eastern, where they'll be discussing those who have created fun businesses and uncovered their fortunes in the process. And then on November 30th at 8 p.m. Eastern is another episode of Mark My Words with certified life and business coach Mark Shaw. And then as far as my shows go, my next show is going to be on Monday, December 29th on the International Life Coach Radio at the same time, 9 p.m. Eastern, and the topic is going to be around mindfulness with certified coach Charles Gossett, and you definitely do not want to miss that. Thanks again, Brent, and thank you to all our listeners for tuning in. Happy holidays and much love, peace, and blessings.
Thank you for having me, Charissa. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy holidays.